Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail, and we will not be having benediction this evening. We will, as it's most likely, going to start up as we usually do on the first Sunday of February. Tomorrow is the cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 Mass. And then next Sunday, after the 9 a.m. Mass, Father will have a Q&A, question and answer session, after the Mass in the hall. So that means it's about at 10:15. So there'll be no blessings after the Mass and no sermon that day. But it's a very important subject, so we encourage you to go to the hall next Sunday after the Mass to hear these important words from Father. Now, last Sunday, we distributed the invitations for Father's 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination, the invitations. So if you have not gotten one, they are on the bookshelf in the vestibule. And just to remind you, this event is reserved only for those who attend Mass here at the chapel. And if you have a guest, you have to contact us first. And we, of course, believe that everybody here would not only want to come, but would consider it a privilege to come to the events of that weekend, the end of Easter week. So make every effort to attend the reception for Father. And also, a couple of updates on that. As you know, when there's a big event, and this is for a priest, the 50th anniversary is the biggest thing. So how many priests make it to 50 years only saying the Latin Mass? That's like almost unheard of. Never compromising. So the when it's this big event, sometimes there are adjustments. So the schedule is the same as it is on the invitation. But we want to tell you that because the space is limited at the hotel, to respond as soon as possible, to let us know, reserve your places. And as you know, it's complimentary. Guests are coming from out of town, so be sure to RSVP as soon as possible. Now, the change is this, and this is, the priest came up with this schedule last year, but Father decided to, because of all of you, he decided to adjust the schedule, not the timing, but what's going to be happening. So on April 14th, that's Friday, April 14th, he's just going to offer a low Mass that day. It's in the same time, 9 a.m., followed by blessings, individual blessings after the Mass, as you, most of you know. And then on Sunday, April 16th, will be the solemn Mass. And he did that so as many of you could come to the solemn Mass on Sunday. And for those who didn't get the blessings on Friday, you can get them on Sunday. Well, obviously, with the solemn Mass and all those blessings, it's going to be very long day. So the reception, instead of being noon, it might be 1 or 2 o'clock, but we will give you more details as we know them, as we see the people who are planning this. So anyway, same schedule, but just switching out the low Mass on the 14th and the solemn Mass on the 16th. You may have seen on the bookcase in the vestibule these flyers. We've had a difficult time finding a cook. You would not believe the stories, but I'm not going to go into those details about how people and the work situation, the work ethic, or the lack of work ethic. Maybe some of you know the term people ghost others. Well, that's been happening to us. So anyway, there's a flyer there that has been, it's a copy of what we've been using online and even using Indeed.com and using all these internet job sources, which have been a disaster. So we went to the newspaper, and that has not been working either. So anyway, those little papers, flyers are there. You can take them. You can distribute them. You can do whatever you want. But it's a salaried position, and the email and the phone number on those flyers, if you wish to, we're not asking you to volunteer, we're saying if you know somebody can do it, they can do the job. Because it's basically a full-time job. And if you have any questions, you can let us know. Now, it was, I guess 5 weeks ago, it was the fourth Sunday of Advent when we made that announcement about the little list of solutions for life and salvation. Do you remember that? So many of you responded and said you were interested. So because of the importance of it, I should say, and also because it is what's in that information, in that what was small leaflet, is so important, the project was expanded. And so it's a little booklet now. And it has over 100 maxims, you could say suggestions, rules, whatever you want to call them, to help you in your spiritual life. Some of the categories are God, the Holy Trinity, and the cross of Jesus Christ, conversion to God, virtue, the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist, penance, the Blessed Virgin Mary, charity, imitation of the Holy Family, prayer, love thy neighbor, suffering and death, and consolation. And we believe, the committee was involved in this, but we believe that the devil was trying to stop this small work of ours because we had stories that, which often happens when people are performing a good work, their people or the devil tries to interfere. So, just so you know, what's in this booklet, and we said that is from the New Testament, the Old Testament, Imitation of Christ. But it's all, virtually all of it is from conferences, spiritual direction from Father Ward over the last 50 years. You may have heard some of these counsels in sermons. And so we're asking that right after the collection that the ushers, you can do it the ushers, or if you want to get two other men, right after the collection that you distribute them so that you all have them as soon as possible during the Mass because they are reflections. You could take one of them and realize this is something I need to do to get to heaven. Now, you may read this, a person may read this and say, you know, I have my own spirituality. This is nice, but I really don't need to do this. Or maybe a couple things, but not this isn't really for me. It's really beneath me. And that would be a big mistake because it's above all of us, all of these suggestions or counsels. And in fact, the new name, Spiritual Counsels for a Christian Life, that was Father's retitling of it. He really had, in terms of compiling it, had nothing to do with it. And the subtitle is Advice for Happiness and Sanctity. So we hope you will profit from it. And then the last announcement before we do the saints for the week. Today is January 22nd, 2023, so you hear it from the priests often. We're doing what the Pope, bishops, and priests have not been doing, and that is absolutely condemning abortion, killing babies before they're born. You know why they're doing nothing? Because a few words here and there, but it's still going on. They're not punishing Catholics, Catholic bishops, priests, laity who are publicly for abortion the last 50 years. That's on the record. Immoral for abortion, for unnatural sins. And then a novus ordo priest. He should be traditional, but what happens to him? He's laicized, which means absolutely nothing. The Pope cannot laicize. No priest can be laicized for an unjust reason. They did that because he's trying to save babies from being murdered. Now, it's 50 years ago today that Roe v. Wade was issued. I remember when it happened. I was in the Right to Life movement. I've told you that. Soon after I was involved with it, I saw locally and then nationally compromises. Well, if we can just stop most abortions, but we can kill a baby for the life of the mother. That's a demonic lie, okay? And I'm going to explain it to you. Some months ago, up in Denver, there was a woman, I believe it was on a Sunday morning, near Sloan Lake. Some of you may know that lake up in Denver. She was jogging. She's maybe in her 30s. And she saw, out on the water, a couple of hands and people struggling out there in the water because it was ice and water. What did she do? She sacrificed her life to save both people. Any first responder, anybody, if you're saving two people, you try to save both of them. You don't take a gun or a knife like these horrific, satanic abortion doctors. That's what they are. Okay. You don't kill and murder one to save the other. That's not only wrong, it's irrational. It's a horrific sin. So you don't kill someone to save someone. You try to save both patients. As the obstetrician, gynecologist, Dr. John Delaney said 50 years ago, he explained it to the Right to Life people back then. Any doctor always tries to save the patient or both patients. So that's a lie. And you do not kill an innocent baby because of violent crimes of rape or any other sins of men towards women. You don't kill babies. Why would you do that? And notice the evil politicians and media rejoiced when this was overturned last summer by the Supreme Court, because they went throughout the country spreading their evil agenda and making it even more accessible. In states like Kansas, we had an election and it was now basically abortion on demand in all these different states. Oh, really? You had an election? Tell me about that. And the former president saying he's, before this one, he's against abortion, but I'm for exceptions. No, there are no exceptions, okay? If you think that, you're wrong. Because if it's in a Catholic's conscience that it's okay to kill a baby, you're on the road to hell. I'm just telling you that, warning you about that. God sees all. He will punish all. He will save all. In other words, God is the, in his divine justice, will punish the wicked. And he will reward the good. So when it comes to those issues, there's no compromise. So you be in the face of these wicked people who are baby killers. Whether it's some doctor or nurse or practitioner or politician or relative, you tell them off and have nothing to do with them. You tell them off. Make them be ashamed of their sin. It's a grave sin to be for not only committing abortion, but before it and to endorse it. That's a grave sin. So we want to reemphasize that on this 50th anniversary and pray for our country and pray for the world, because it's happening all over the world. Now, briefly, some of the saints for this week. Today is the feast of Saints Vincent and Anastasius. They were martyrs. And because they stood up for their faith, they were killed. They publicly defended their faith, as we're supposed to do, and they were murdered. And what's interesting is the reason they didn't know each other, because they lived over three centuries apart, but they, by coincidence, were put to death on the same day. And then tomorrow, St. Raymond of Peñafort from Spain also. And he was so zealous in his faith that he wanted to, as you've heard the stories, priests and religious who offer themselves or raise money to free slaves. Slaves of the Muslims and other organizations, religions, because of their Christian faith. And also tomorrow is the commemoration of Saint Emerenciana, the Virgin Martyr. You know what she was killed for? Do you know the story? She was the foster sister of St. Agnes, whose feast was yesterday. And in the year 304, she went to the tomb of St. Agnes because she had a devotion to this saint. And they, the enemies, saw her praying and they stoned her to death. So that's why she died a martyr for Christ. January 24th, St. Timothy, who was bishop and martyr, and as you probably know, he was a disciple of St. Paul. He was listening to the sermons in Ephesus of St. Paul, and he was so moved, he decided to follow him. And he gave up all his possessions and followed St. Paul and became his assistant as St. Paul went around the Middle East of that time. And then he was made a bishop by St. Paul and died also a martyr in the year 97. And the 25th of January is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. And the reason it has its own feast day is because he was a very evil man, if you know your Bible, if you know your New Testament. He was responsible for the death of St. Stephen. He organized it and it was there. It's right in the Acts of the Apostles. And he not only was opposing the Christians, he would hunt them down and arrest them and I'll put them to death. What a terrible life. And as we said before, using that overused expression, but it literally maybe came from this, he was on the road to Damascus with his other soldiers. He was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And on the way, God literally knocked him off his high horse and blinded him. And our Lord says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he's face down on the ground, humbled and humiliated, and he was instantly converted. God can do whatever he wants, but he decided to make him, as it's called, a vessel of election. I will make you a vessel of election. I've chosen you to do this. And he became the greatest apostle. But as you know from the Acts of the Apostles and from St. Paul's own epistles, he suffered unbelievably for his sins before he was martyred. He was persecuted, attacked, adrift in the sea. You know those accounts that are in his epistle. And you know, also, his enemies, after he converted, went after him just like they go after us. They attacked him. They chased him. They went to the civil authorities to go after him. All led by the devil. And he survived until on June 29th, the year 67, both he and St. Peter were put to death. And that's why their images are in the Shrine of the Sacred Heart. Because we owe our faith after Jesus Christ, we owe it to Saints Peter and Paul. Look at the great sanctity of those two men. Look at St. Peter, the first pope, who, by his irreverent remarks to our Lord when he's going up to Jerusalem, our Lord said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." He called him a devil, St. Peter. And in front of everyone at the key moment, St. Peter denied that he even knew our Lord. It's hard to believe that these two men committed such great sins, terrible sins. But there it is. God gave them the grace and they responded so much they became the greatest apostles. Why do we tell you that? Because this booklet will help you to do the same, to change your lives. If you could do one of these a day or one a week, you could be a saint. That's why it says, advice for happiness and sanctity. One of the other priests, by the way, told me, he remembered something that Father Ward had told him. As advice for someone. Because so many people, they feel unhappy. They come to Mass, but they feel unhappy. They just are not happy inside. And what's going on? Even with all the crosses we have, there's... And so Father Ward told one of the priests here, it wasn't me, he said, you tell those people, you make the people you're responsible for, you make them happy. Family, friends, people you work with, you worry about making them happy, and then you'll be happy. You'll have interior peace. So we put that in there. And that's what, in a very simple way, that is what Saints Peter and Paul did. They didn't think about themselves anymore. They thought, to follow Christ, to imitate him, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus Christ. That quote is also in here. On the 27th, January 27th, St. John Chrysostom, the great Eastern doctor of the church, and he was called Chrysostom, which means from the Greek, but it means golden mouth, because when he preached, the words were so eloquent and so beautiful and so filled with unction and devotion that the people were just overcome with what he said. And he was Patriarch of Constantinople, which is the present-day Istanbul. But listen to this. This is an account from the Daily Missal. It says, the envy and the calumny of his persecutors followed his every step until he died in 407. They were after him. Sound familiar? And then on the 28th, the Saturday, feast of St. Peter Nolasco. And he was instructed, he lived in the 12th century, he was instructed by none other than the Blessed Virgin Mary to start the religious order called the Mercedarians, or the full name is the Order of Our Lady of Mercy for the Redemption of Captives. When all funds for the work were exhausted, the religious were bound by their rule to take the places of the prisoners with the infidels. So they tried to raise money, as we said with the other saint, to ransom slaves for the people who are slaves for their faith. And when they ran out of money, they said, okay, I'll give myself. So those are the saints of this week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, Thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no one, but go show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for witness to them. Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted. And Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. But in answer, the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes. And to my servant, Do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you notice when you, after assisting at Mass and hearing all of these epistles and Gospels, especially the Gospels over these months and years, how often our Lord, who created the law of the Old Testament, but instituted the new law, the New Testament, how often he would tell the people, the Hebrews, the apostles, people who he would cure, to follow the old law, do this particular ritual. So when this man's servant was healed, as it says, this centurion's servant was healed, it was a cause for a great conversion. But the more interesting one for this point is the leper, the man who had this disease. It's virtually gone in the world today, but it still exists. Horrific disease, but what's terrible about it is because it so disfigures the person. And when he was cleansed, Jesus said to him, See thou tell no one, but go show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for witness to them. He wanted the man who was cured to go, according to the old law, to the temple and follow the command, his own law, to show not only that he was cured, but that he was following the law, the correct ritual. Related to this is something that you probably know, but we've mentioned, priests have mentioned maybe years ago, We all have to do it. If we have anything on our conscience when we come to Mass, we take the holy water, we bless ourselves. That removes, especially with the intention, it removes the venial sins on your soul. But if a person has a serious sin, they receive the sacrament of penance to receive absolution from the priest by the power of God through that priest. You know that. And how often we have something in our conscience, something bothering us, and what is it? There's some person or some persons, but usually it's a person that we are angry with, or we're resentful, or we have hatred for, or at least feelings of hatred. And what does the scripture say? Before you go to the altar to offer your gift, first reconcile with your neighbor. Then offer your gift. So that means in this unique circumstances of this chapel and what we have here, this community, that's the way it is to be done. Don't ever harbor resentment or hatred or bad feelings. Resolve it. And usually it's one sentence to your neighbor. I'm sorry for what I did last night or last week. I'm sorry for what I said or the way I treated you. Then you've reconciled with your neighbor. Then you are worthy to come into church. That's very important. Because our love for God is expressed directly by acts of love of God, by our prayers, the act of charity, for example. But the indirect love of God is our love for our neighbor. We love God through our neighbor. It's from the Old Testament, and our Lord said it in the Gospels. We are to love the Lord God with our whole heart and mind and strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves for the sake of God. So if there's something that's blocking that love, then we have to get it corrected. Because it's like a cancer, a festering wound that we try to cover up or ignore, and it just does not go away. And we do not want that on our conscience for more than a day. Because what happens at the end of our lives? All of those bad feelings and things in our conscience. What are we going to do with all that? Are we going to have the privilege, the gift of having a priest to hear our confession? Maybe. Maybe not. Because sanctity, conversion, contrition is not a once and done thing. It's every day. Every day. It's an everyday process. And another, it related to this gospel, but also something that is very important, is to, towards God and your neighbor, is to express gratitude. I'd say everybody here knows, apart from family, a work situation where there's an employer or manager, someone who's above you in the company, for example. And it means everything when that authority says, thank you for your work. Thank you for what you're doing. Don't we have the obligation to thank God for all these beautiful gifts and to thank each other? Even if they're minor, small gifts throughout the day, to say thank you. I appreciate what you're doing. And finally, just as a reminder, these many miracles that our Lord performed, they are placed in the season of Epiphany, right after Christmas, before Lent begins. You may remember this, hearing this. They are placed in the Mass readings because they are a reminder to us that our Lord performed these miracles not to have personal glory, not to show off. Never think that. In fact, he would perform miracles and then he'd disappear because he did not want the fickle acclaim of people who were amazed by these works. No, it was to confirm the words that he was saying. And to emphasize his divinity, which was revealed to us on Christmas, but continues to be made present, manifested during these Sundays after Epiphany, and also his kingship. Humility of our Lord, as it's displayed in that beautiful image of the infant Jesus of Prague in the back of the chapel. He's our king, but he came to us as an infant to teach us. The virtues of spiritual childhood, innocence, humility, trust. When we have that, we can conquer anything. Do you know that? And nothing can conquer us. No devil, no agent of the devil, no evil associate, neighbor, friend, even family member, they can't conquer us because we have the grace of God in our souls. We have our precious Catholic faith. But also we're humble. We have to be. We have to pray for that. Because remember, it's a gift, but it can be taken away. And lastly, the fact that you've been given, that we've all been given the privilege of assisting at this Mass, this correct Mass, that shows proper worship and reverence for Almighty God, it can be taken away. We've known people that came to Mass here for 20, 30 years. And what happened to them? Their hearts were hardened. But they still want to keep a connection. So yesterday evening, we got a phone call from one of the children that they're now this person's in late 20s maybe. Please come. My father was in an accident. Please help us. And so we're going to help that person because the father actually comes to Mass here when he can. But the rest of the family, they threw it all away. I find it unbelievable that a person could do that. But I pray for them. I pray, as I told you, lastly, I pray for all the people, many intentions, but for all the people who have come to Mass here and then stopped coming. Because their salvation is in danger because they had all of this and they threw it away deliberately. And it was a coincidence, I think, because at yesterday's Mass, a few hours before the accident of the father of this family, I remembered the families and I prayed for this family by name. And virtually all of you here know this family. So you pray for them too. And pray for their conversion and for your conversion. May God bless you.